Now this is Channel 2 Right, and this visit with Cookie, just after lunch, he had a cup of coffee this Saturday, the 7th of August, 1971. Channel 2 Right, and beginning of the visit with Cookie, this Saturday after lunch, the 7th of August, 1971. Channel 2 Right, and beginning of this visit with Cookie, after lunch, the 7th of August, 1971, Channel 2 Right, and beginning the visit with Cookie, after lunch, he had a cup of coffee, the 7th of August, 1971, Channel 2 Right, and the beginning of the visit with Cookie, this Saturday, the 7th of August, 1971, after lunch. Channel 2 Right.
They don't let him just do anything he wants to do.
No, absolutely not.
Well, I don't think he would.
No, my daddy's a strict man.
And that would be good, I'd say. During this particular period anyway.
That's what I'm
going to tell. Where he made the law. Cookie's going to have a little coffee, and he was burning up, he said.
Oh, was he? I'm telling you the truth. I never done nothing. I just sat down there and peeled around, and I'm like, no, I was just burning up.
He's cooled off now.
I told Helen I needed him down here, but Daddy needs him worse than I do because Daddy ain't able to do nothing.
Gosh, yeah.
And him with that sugar and everything, it'll take them ribs some time to heal up.
Slower healing?
Oh, yeah. See, he's got sugar so bad he can't hardly live. course,
I didn't realize that.
Of course, that runs in the family.
Is that right?
Yeah, his dad died with sugar, and his mother died with sugar, and he's got two sisters died with sugar. He's got it. My uncle here in Gainesville's got it. My uncle in Chillicothe, Ohio, in the Veterans Hospital, he's got it.
You know, good thing for you to do is to get checked every once in a while. Any member of anybody that's got it in the family. Because, you know, if you get it first, it can be.
Last week has been one heck of a week for me. I ain't joking nobody.
Something else, Cookie.
See, Laura's car's been in the shop.
Mmm.
Still in the shop. She had to take me to work in the morning. Come back home. She'd go to work. And I stopped by the hospital, pick up my car, come down here, and go home, wherever I want to go. Then go back and pick her up at 11:15. Get home at 12:00.
Yeah.
By that time I'm so tired I can't even sleep. So consequently about 3:30, 4:00 in the morning I go to sleep.
Yeah. That keeps you on the road.
All the time. Looks like I'm just gonna have to have three automobiles operative at all times.
Yeah. Yeah. One extra.
I was gonna bring that 59 station wagon down here this morning, but I started out and there's too many sheriffs out on the road. I turned around and went back home. I was afraid it'd stop me. See, I ain't got no tag, no inspection sticker, nothing on it. And that's all I need to get stopped by the cops.
You can't call in to the patrol station and tell them you want to move a car out to the country.
They say go buy a tag and get it. Move it legal. Or tow it. Well, it's got automatic transmission in it, and I don't want to tow it that far.
Well, you could tow it, but you'd have to have somebody in front of you. I mean, you could drive it, but you'd have to have somebody in front of
that's
you.
That's right.
Towing you, huh?
That's right.
So that's a two-man job.
That's right.
Well, there's something just to keep a man sort of dog-eared a good part of time, isn't it? Just wilted. Now you got it. You think you helped it?
Yeah, I found my trouble. Reason we didn't want to crank most of the time. Well, a bigger part of the trouble. The coil wire, where it goes in the coil, a little rubber cup that goes down over top of it, it just was sticking through that, that's all. And far, I had to jump about that far to get to the coil.
Yeah. How about that?
Here I've been fighting that thing, and I didn't know.
Well, it was running good.
when you can get it to crank.
Yeah. Well, what it does, it bars from the other wires.
That's right. It takes all the juice, all of the bar, to jump to the coil. Then you ain't got enough to go from your coil over to your spark plugs to fire.
Yeah.
I got it then.
Noise.
You know mine's got that way at home.
Yeah.
And it stays hot in there, see? With that wind drop, it's still hot. I'm kind of sorry we got a defroster.
That may be what my folks see.
Yeah.
I got a automatic defroster.
I don't know what Fee says, but it runs all the time and it's noisy. And it costs a lot more than them others to operate. You just make all the noise you want to. I'm just sort of catching my breath.
Well, good,
because when I got this little stuff started. Yeah. Frank, that's going to be a break for him.
Yeah, it's gonna be a break for Daddy. Too.
Yeah, I know that, but it's the biggest break for Frank.
That's right, the biggest break will be for Frank.
I don't know whether he'll appreciate it or not. He may. He may appreciate it.
He said, Daddy, he said, you don't know. He said, the people up here are just so much different than they are down in Florida.
He could give you some cases, too.
He said, we just work our tail off and have a lot of fun, too. That's just the way he spoke it.
Yeah.
Just work our tail off and have a lot of fun, too. Well, we always did. Heck, we never did. We just go out and work like horses.
That's right.
And have fun, and everybody joked and played and just had a big time.
Just a big time.
That's right.
And I'm not sure that I have had a big time working in down here since I've been in Florida. Nothing like up country, I know that. But when we made silage down there, that was a lark. You wouldn't want to miss that. Of course, you had plenty of hands. And then that don't work anybody.
That's right. Well, that's what it used to be back up home. Everybody helped one another. Girls, I mean, great big girls, 17, 18, 19 years old, grabbing a pitchfork and head for the hayfield.
Yes, sir.
Get them a hoe and head on the mountain to hoe corn.
And it did them good.
That's right. That's right. Nowadays, you catch a woman, a girl, or a woman with a hoe in her hand heading for the cornfield or the hayfield. Why, it's the awfulest thing on earth.
It is not done, is it?
No, sir.
Would you catch any of them doing it?
I'd like to have the picture if I did.
Have you seen any of them doing it?
No.
Well, that's just their loss.
That's right. They don't know what they're missing.
No. I was down there this morning when my little car wouldn't start, and Miss Daisy was hoeing out the grass and her flowers. of course, she got that old motion. She don't jar herself, you know, when she uses that hole.
But I tell you, that's all we used to have a lot of fun.
Yes, sir, I bet you did. Just right there on your own place. Did you have as much fun on your own place as you did when you was over there at your neighbor's?
Yeah, sure. Same routine. Get done making molasses in the fall, you know.
Yeah.
On the last batch, we'd have a taffy pulling.
Oh.
Are you talking about a ball? No, we had it.
I never did do that.
You never did get in on that?
No.
Well, you missed it. You missed the boat, guy.
Not the molasses pulling. Not when they were making molasses, no.
That was the last batch. We always had a taffy pulling.
Yeah.
We'd take the last batch and the maker would boil it down and make taffy out of it.
Yes.
Lord, it was tough.
Yes.
And everybody would have a taffy pull.
Yeah. You'd have a great big piece of it this long.
That's right. And you could stretch it for a mile.
You'd stretch it and fold it over.
Oh, my goodness. Then when it got hard, it's just like glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You lay it down on the board and start chopping it.
That's right. Lot of fun.
Well, it took some pretty good cooking to get it right there where you wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd work like a Turk. I mean, just work like horses all day. Stack 8 or 9 haystacks, hoe 3 or 4 acres of corn. Get out that night and walk 8, 9, 10 miles to church. Yeah. Everybody went together. And then at church, well, everybody had to have my girlfriend, you know.
Yeah.
I never will forget that time, that one time. I took this old gal home. Her dad he was a drunk. And he got the shotgun at me. He shot at me.
He had your number.
Yeah, he shot at me.
You could hear the BBs
rattling over my head. I'm moving on. Go to Pi Socials.
Well, what were the circumstances? You didn't get clear up to the house.
No, I never. I just got to the barn. Barn was way down in front of the house, you know.
Yeah.
Moonlight night.
Yeah. And you never offered to just come all the way to the house.
I was just moseying on, and he yelled out. Door. He said, "Now that's far enough, fella. I don't know who you are, but you better get going." And kablam!
He yelled out.
He sure did. French Parker, I never will forget him. No. I will forget that.
He didn't even know who it was.
No, he didn't know who it was. He done everybody that way. And that was the prettiest girl in that community.
Yeah.
And everybody had to have a taste of that shotgun.
Yeah. Well,
we'd work all week and go to a pie social on Friday night, you know. We take our little $2 or $3 or $4, whatever we made that week, and spend it every bit on Friday night, that pie social. just to get to eat a piece of pie with a girl, you know, and then take her home.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I met Helen, was an old fashioned pie social.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to walk her by spurs from here to driveway, I mean the road down there, to her daddy's car. That's as far as I got to go that night.
Oh.
I mean, I had to take my, I got in there by just a little bit at a time, you know.
Yes.
At first I walked her to the car.
And she's pretty too.
Oh,
little snappy eye.
Yeah, she's pretty too.
And that was something then, you know, get to go with the school teacher, you know. Oh, I was a big fella. I got to walk a school teacher to her car. Helen was teaching school at the time.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't get to buy her pie that night, though. I didn't have enough money. I worked all week, got out a load of mine posts. Got $18 out of a whole load of mine posts. And I had $18 in my pocket that night. And I couldn't buy her pie. Because it went for $22.
Good Lord.
$22.
Well, she saw, it was her pie they sold.
That's right.
Yeah.
$22. And I had $18, all the money I had. But I still got the privilege of walking her to her daddy's car.
How'd you manage that?
Oh, I was.
He's top on the list.
Was that, or did that go along with the buying the pie?
Yeah, because I run it to $18. Yes, sir, I was going to get that pie. Or
but you couldn't go any further.
I couldn't go no further because I didn't have no more money.
But you was willing to put the $18 you'd made out of mine post.
All week's work, yes, sir. Just to get to eat a piece of that butterscotch pie and walk her down to her daddy's car. I knew I would.
Yeah.
Why,
because
she didn't get
a piece of the butterscotch pie?
No. But I got a whole butterscotch pie the next Sunday.
But that was Friday night.
That was Friday night. On the next Sunday week.
Yeah.
Took me all week to work up to a butterscotch pie. I walked 17 miles to get to eat.
Oh, really?
I sure did.
Well, why would you have to walk so far? Cookie?
No transportation.
And you didn't want to ride your mule?
No, because I didn't know whether she'd cross the river or not. See, I had to cross Elk River.
Yeah.
I didn't know whether old baby would cross that river or not.
How'd you cross it?
Boat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't have a ferry, though. Just a boat?
Just a boat. About like this and down here. Chewed up.
Yeah. Yeah, except that it would.
Yeah. Yeah, she boated me across. Helen did.
Oh, she come to get you?
She come to get me and set me across the river. Then when I got ready to leave that night, she set me back across the river and I walked on home, got home daylight.
If you'd had a mule, it just had to tie it up there all that time.
Yeah.
your strides then, you didn't need a mule. You could sling them feet out ahead of you.
Yeah, I could walk. Well, it was 6 miles from where Daddy lives to where I caught the school bus. And I walked it in an hour.
Oh, really? I never walked 6 miles in an hour.
I walked it in an hour.
That's more walking than I ever done.
Well, now you got to pick them up and set them down.
Yes, you have.
But I used to walk them. Heck, I went to half run all the time. It didn't bother me.
You went in a half run?
Practically.
Just to get there.
Just to catch this bus.
Oh, that's when you was in school.
Well, I was in high school, yeah.
Oh, you just have so much time to get there, so you'd have to move.
We had to move, that's right. They didn't wait for nobody. It's like you right here to catch a greyhound.
Yeah. They don't know you're coming.
That's right.
And if they do know,
they ain't gonna wait.
They wouldn't wait for me. They might wait for some people.
But you know, we've been trying out Windsor Church to get an old-fashioned pie social started. Have an old-fashioned pie social just for the community, just to have fun. Some place to go. Get together. Sell the pies and the cakes and give that money to the church. Man, I'd head the whole thing. If they would give me the go ahead, I'd set it all up. I'd even auction the pies off. Yeah, well.
Well, now, but that the pie auction you were talking about, that was them boys that had been working all week. They're the ones that kept that going.
That's right. Boys like me get out there and work like a fool all week just to get a bite pie on Friday night.
Yeah. Now there's all there, the old folks and young folks and all of them.
Yeah, from that high on up to 6, 7, and 80 years old. Yeah.
And it was just certain pies that brought that amount.
Certain girls' pies that brought that amount, that's right.
Depending on whose pie it was.
The pretty girls' pies brought top money.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Well, I don't know quite how that would work out, Cookie. What, you couldn't bid on somebody else's girl?
Yes, you could. That'd make him hot. He'd go higher.
Yeah, he wouldn't let you get it.
No, not if he had enough money.
Yeah. And if you got it, you get to take it home?
More than likely, yeah.
Yeah, she'd feel a little obligated?
Yeah. But see, Helen, she was she was a school teacher, you know. That embarrassed me to let somebody else get that pie. Oh, that did. That it really embarrassed me back then.
Yeah.
But now it wouldn't make no difference.
Yeah.
You know, I had it all fixed up. I had $18 in my pocket.
Yeah. You thought you were safe.
I thought I was on top of the world. An old Clay Bullard bought it for $22.
Who?
Next door neighbor to us, Clay Bullard.
Yeah. And he done it knowing.
Done it deliberately.
Yeah.
Him and Boone Butler run it up on me.
Both of them.
Both of them.
Were in on it.
That, yeah. One, get one bid and I get it. I think, well, here I go now. I'm going to get that pie. About the time they'd count the two, Boone would, he'd come in with another bid. And here I was doing, I'd been lost.
Yeah. And you sweating again.
Yeah, there I was sweating again. Just had $18.
Well, I'm surprised that they took it. They could have carried it up, kept you going, but they still would want to get your money.
Well, see, and they ended up, they didn't get a nickel of my money that night.
Yeah.
No, they never got a nickel of my money that night.
So that just cost your neighbor.
That cost the community. The community fund, that cost them $18 just because that one fella wanted to get that pie.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want $18 just like that.
And then he could have spent his money on somebody else's pie.
Sure. His wife. He could have bought his wife's pie, but he didn't even buy his own wife's pie.
Yeah.
And Edith Bullard and Mama is first cousins, and she's a beautiful woman. Oh, she was a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
His wife and my mother is first cousins.
Yeah. Oh.
And he always did, it done him the most good in the world to rib me about something. Aggravate me. Yeah.
You thought you had $118.
That was just part of it, ribbing you.
That was just
part of it.
That's right.
You know, it's kind of hard to project now. I've been out of that so long. It just seemed like a different world, another world.
Yeah.
Now, could you just step right back in that world and feel at home?
Yeah. Yeah, I could step right back in there and why just have a barrel of fun all the time and work hard.
Yeah.
But there ain't no wages.
Not get up and out of it.
Back then you didn't care about wages. Because you raised your living.
Yes.
You had your hogs, your beef, your milk, butter. Had your chickens, you raised your vegetables out in the garden. On Saturday, you go to mill and take two bushels of corn and have them ground up into a meal.
Yeah. Grits.
Yeah. You had nothing to worry about. Nowadays, you can't do that. Them old grist mills is gone. And you can't kill a beef now, hardly. Unless you do it yourself and cut it up, and down here, you can't hardly chill it. You can't hardly get it chilled to where you can cut it up.
Yeah.
Because there's no place in Gainesville that you can take a beef in now and get it chilled and cut up. And the Department of Agriculture will not let you.
Even if you wanted to.
Even if you wanted to. One of your prime cows out here. If you wanted to dress her up and make beef out of her, guy, you couldn't take her into Gainesville and get her dressed up and cut up ready for your deep freeze.
Did you ever, now you see, you all were healthy and you could eat anything. Berman was just saying about Ms. Gusser, she's in the hospital. Had a pain. She didn't know whether it's appendicitis, kidney stone, or what. But anyhow, chief thing about her is she don't like just common food. She gotta have pork. And Berman said, time or two he ate over there when he is maybe over there helping Barbara do something. She'd have pork on her table and beef too. And she'd slice off the fat off of that old pork, put it over on her plate. She says, that's the part she liked.
And no wonder she's in the hospital.
And then she'd eat some beef. And she didn't care for vegetables and things like that. And the way he talked, she just about still got that. And then she looks down at her foot and it's all swelled up and she can't hardly keep a shoe on. But now you can see she can't stand this old common food like you get in the store.
Well, you're speaking of common food. Last night, after I got through in Gainesville, I had to get my car greased and a few things I had to do. I didn't eat no breakfast yesterday morning. Didn't take no dinner yesterday. Hadn't had nothing to eat all day. You know, I went to a restaurant in this neighborhood right here. And I got a steak for $1.40, and that's the best that I'd eaten in many a day. I mean, a steak, club steak, with all the trimmings. And guy, it was that big, and as thick as my hand.
I didn't know you could do it.
Go down here to Horn Lake.
At the trade wind.
That's right. And now it was cooked to a perfection.
Well, that means a lot of things. They got somebody to cook.
They know how to cook. They had turnip greens. I mean, it was just out of this world. Turnip greens.
Real turnip greens.
Real turnip greens, lima beans. And cornbread and steak and all the coffee you could drink, and cost me $1.40 plus the tax.
You mean all the trimmings?
I mean all the trimmings.
Wouldn't have thought so.
They give you a bowl of soup to start with. You eat that. Then they bring you toss salad. I mean, and it was right too. Lettuce, tomatoes, carrots, radishes. And you get your main course. And now it was 50.
Everett told me about this place to eat, you know, down the way there. Oh, in a mile or two of Ocala. On the old Seal 1. And I stopped in there and ate. It's a nice, clean place. And I had a piece of fish, you know, done up like you bought at the dime store, packaged.
Yeah.
And I had two vegetables. And bread. For $1. Now you see, I didn't get a drink because I don't actually like cafe drinks along with the food. But that was extra. I can get dessert. You see that where that would run it. And I don't see how I ever figured that was a cheap place to eat.
I don't either. I got at Trade Winds yesterday evening was far cheaper for the quality of food that I got.
Yes. No, when they strip it all down, you see, that's make it look small, that's the way you lose out.
But then, I tell you, them lima beans and turnip greens, mister, they were good.
Well, let me tell you, you can't cook club steak here for any dollar and a quarter, just the club steak.
No.
I can't buy one for a dollar and a quarter.
Well, I went down there and it cost me $1.40 a club steak, and it was as big as my hand, Faye.
Tell you what is that, you know, the courting in the old days was something that you lived around. In that little book I was reading last fall, Faulkner has that courting. I aim to read you some of those passages. One little section of it called Eula. Now, Eula is the handsome one in that whole community. Now, everything that came through that town noticed Eula and paid their respects. They'd come from towns all around there just to pay their respects. But the part of it that you'd like. These three boys got their buggies, new buggies with yellow wheel buggies. And this other fella, he was one of them, he got ahead of them, and they'd lay for him. Now wait a minute, to start with, they was all up there of a Sunday evening, you see. And you'd see them yellow wheel buggies hitched to the paling fence. And then it got so, one of them got ahead of them, and he'd take her to church or somewhere in his own buggy, and they'd lay for him, ambush him.
That sounds like old times, yeah.
Now, you've heard tell of things like that?
I've done things like that.
Yeah,
I've done that. Yeah. I took girls away from boys many nights. Yeah, well, that used to be a common thing.
In the buggies?
No, walking. No, they'd be walking down the road, you know. I mean,
on
the way home after church, you know, everybody be walking along. Oh, 15 or 20 people, all in the crowds, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and my first cousin and two or three of them other ornery boys in the community there, we'd two ornery most of the time to get us a girl. We'd walk up to them at church, you know. We'd let them get started on off home, you know. Then we'd go down and bump somebody off. Yeah, we walked, I walked 15, 20 miles out of my way one night just to get to bump somebody off. Up the hills, down the hills, and over the hills, and through the woods, it didn't make any difference. This preacher's girl up there, his daughter, name of Lily Gandy. She still lives in the community up there. She used to go with this boy by the name of Oral Beckett. And he was supposed to be a fighter. I mean, he's a tough one.
He could take care of himself.
Yeah, supposed to, you know. Well, this one night I remember. After it's doing a revival, you know. Everybody come from far and near the revival. Back then, days.
Oh, yeah. Go a long ways.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I saw Lily that day and I asked her, I said, Lily, who's taking you home tonight? And she said, now you know who takes me home overnight. I said, he won't take you home tonight, though. I done made up my mind. She said, well, if you're man enough, well, all right.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. She said, if you're man enough, all right. Well, that night I took her home. Me and Oral was about the same size. And let that toughest hide hold out the longest.
Uh-huh.
And I took her home that night. She did. Well, he didn't walk her as first from here to the road from the church till I done had him going with her. I done bumped him off and sent him back to the church to hunt for another one. Yes, sir. And I just come in and nip and marry that girl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And she had the spirit too.
Yeah, yeah. She said, if you're man enough, well, all right.
How about that? Yeah.
Poor old Aunt Blanche Gandy, her mama though. Lord, she thought there was nobody like me. Her daddy the same way. He was a preacher, but a hard-working man. He didn't depend on preaching for a living.
Yes.
He'd get out and farm and work, then go to church and preach for an hour and a half, 2 hours during a revival.
Yeah.
He was one of them old-fashioned preachers.
Yeah. I wonder if he still got any up there like that.
Yes, sir.
You reckon?
Yes, sir.
Wouldn't that be something?
Boy, I'm telling you. People would run. People would run and hide if a preacher would get up in the pulpit down here and preach like they do back up in the country.
Yeah. They couldn't face it.
They couldn't face it, no.
He let you know.
That's right.
What you've been up to.
He didn't get up there and whitewash nothing. No, sir. He let it all go.
Yeah.
He didn't talk in no soft tone of voice.
Yeah.
You know, half the preachers, well, I'd say 90% of the preachers, old-fashioned preachers, when they get up in the pulpit, they don't know what they say. If they're an old-fashioned, God-sent preacher, they get up in a pulpit.
Yeah.
They don't preach. They just open their mouth and the good Lord speaks to them.
And they know what they... And they can... Nobody has to tell them who's out there listening to them.
No.
You know, there's bound to be some of that left somewhere, Cookie. There's just bound to be.
There is, right up there.
Yeah.
Boy, old Doyle Crookshanks, he used to be our pastor up there in that community church. Oh. 3 or 4 years. Now, he was a good man, a good preacher, and he's like a poor Uncle Willie Gandy. He never depended on preaching for a living.
Yeah.
He lived in the parsonage, yeah. But he'd go out and work 8 hours a day on public works. He'd come in and then he would go visit in the community. No, he never eat supper at home. No, he'd visit around the community. He'd eat supper at some neighbor's house that night. Find out how the other man lived, if they needed anything. To me, that's what a preacher's supposed to do.
And that pulpit stuff is just a small part of it.
It's just a token of it.
Yeah. But now, him and his wife both liked you.
Yeah.
Partly because he knew you knew how to do something.
Yeah, I plowed his garden for him, you know. He had an old mule. After he got too old. Well. He was an old man when he come to that community.
Yeah.
And then, spring of the year, I'd go down and take his old mule and plow his garden. Heck, I'd go help him. We helped everybody.
But his girl, he had this young daughter?
Yeah. Well, she was old as I am.
Well, but you wasn't very old then.
I was 17, 18 years old.
Yeah.
Just old enough to be ornery.
Well, he could have been 40 and you'd figured he was an old man then.
Poor Aunt Blanche, every time that she knew I was coming to see Lily, she baked me cherry pie.
Yeah.
Yes, my friend. She baked me cherry pie every Saturday night. We just go courting on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you go in and sit down and eat it?
Yes, sir. Drink coffee and just have a big time.
That wasn't a meal. That was just...
That was just something extra.
Just... Cherry pie. As dessert.
Yeah. Well, we didn't get no automobile and go to no movie house or run off no prayer. No.
You're shameful.
We sat on the front porch in a big long swing and a cool breeze and why. Just had me. Listen to the records on the old fashioned Victrola, you know.
Yeah.
About 9:30, 10 o'clock, while Mom and Papa, they'd go to bed. You'd sit out on the porch with the daughter and talk and just have a big time, and about 10:30, 11 o'clock, the old man would say, "All right, it's time to go to bed."
Yeah.
You got up and walked off, buddy.
He called a curfew.
He called a curfew, yes, sir.
Did you ever go courting on a mule?
Yes, sir. I sure have. Not a mule, a horse. Yeah.
Ride a few miles?
Quite a few. quite a few.
Well, now these, that was the same thing what you said there when the girl told you if you was man enough. But now, this other thing, it was, there's all courting her, all of them together, and they wouldn't trust each other. See, there's all that together.
Yeah.
Until one of them got a toehold, and then they'd lay for him.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So, he either had to stop and fight him, or have a horse that would, huh?
Or run.
Have a horse that would move out ahead of him.
That's right. Yeah. We used to delight in that, yeah. I mean, that was just our fun.
You'd lay for him.
Yeah.
Especially some pretty girl.
Yeah, some real nice girl. Yeah. I ain't bragging, but I used to be the best looking boy in that community. I was the cleanest cut boy in that whole community. And I could take my pick.
And the others would leave for you.
Yeah. But I didn't have too much trouble, just like that night when Lily told me, if you're a man enough.
Yeah.
See, she was afraid of Oral. Oral, he took her through his manpower, not because she wanted him to.
Yeah, he was bigger than the rest of you.
That's right. Bullheaded.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. And then she told me, she said, if you're man enough. It's all right with me.
Yeah.
Well, I knew I was going to walk her home at night.
Yeah.
Because I don't, why? Goodness gracious, I'd have went down. I'd died fighting that night.
But he was a pretty tough customer.
Yeah, he was pretty tough. Pretty tough talking.
Yeah.
But he was awkward, clumsy. He couldn't get around too good.
Yeah.
Too fast.
Yeah. So.
I just beat him to the draw.
That's where the history's made, I guess.
Yeah. And lots of times everybody'd be walking home, you know. Nice looking girl with a strange boy and come in, you know, he'd think he's going to be big fella. He'd get him a date with a girl that night, you know. They got all about a third of the way home. Why? He'd walk up behind him and put one arm on her shoulder and one arm on his shoulder, spread them apart. Hey, buddy, how about swapping that monkey for a man? And just push him out of the way and grab the girl and walk him down the road. He wasn't nothing else left for him to do only turn around and go back.
Now, just one man would do that.
Yeah, I've done it a many night.
All by yourself?
All by myself. Hey, honey, how about swapping that monkey for a man? Just push him out of the way and grab her and go on down the road.
Now, you knew her.
Yeah, sure. We
but
knew
you didn't necessarily know him.
Not necessarily, no. Well, he didn't know, see, him being strange in the community. He didn't know, boy, I had two or three boys behind.
Oh, yes.
He wouldn't start nothing because he didn't know me and I didn't know him.
Yeah.
He wouldn't start nothing. Well, they wasn't one thing left for him to do.
Yeah.
I just turn around and go back.
Try again sometime.
I've had them to do me the same way, though.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. I'd be in a strange community. Yeah. I wouldn't start nothing. I wouldn't start nothing. Did they ever do what?
Throw rocks at you?
Oh, yeah.
Rocking?
Yeah. I got my head busted open one night with a rock.
Yeah. So was that fair play, rocking?
Sure.
That was fun.
Yeah, but that, boy, that fun turned into a hurting head.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
Will this thing run now?
Yeah.
Well,
is that going to hold you, that cup of coffee?
Yeah, I've done it. I eat before I came over here.
You can have some of Suzanne's bologna that she got in there. She laughed the other day, or she, that day she's out here when Faye had gone. I was eating, you know what I eat, that goo. She come in and had bologna. She laughed and said she eat bologna and strawberry preserves.
Where is Suzanne and Jim?
They saw him yesterday, and she didn't touch her, and I think she, I got the idea of Faith, she was working today. See, she's working on the barber tapes.
Yeah?
All those tapes. See, we've got 10 of them. 10 four-hour tapes that we made when Barbara was here. Boy, it takes a while to listen to them.
Yeah.
I want to hear those couple of places where you were in on them. See, I've forgotten where it was. Ooh, some of it might. That's Channel 2 right, over towards the end, around 9:30, 20. And the end of this surprise, unexpected, long, fine talk with Cookie this Saturday, the 7th of August, 71. Now this is channel, the end of Channel 2 right, and the end of the visit with Cookie at lunch, except all he had was a cup of coffee. This Saturday, the 27th of August, 1971. Channel 2 right, towards the end, around 7:20 or 7:30. This, in the end of the visit with Cookie this Saturday, about noon, after noon, lunch, except he just had a cup of coffee with us. This Saturday, the 7th of August, 71.